I wouldn't be a mom without IVF, and I'm so grateful for it. But is IVF always the right choice, or are so many women and couples being shuttled into this path unnecessarily? In this episode, we talk about it all, from the broken fertility system to the miraculous and sometimes unnecessary act that is IVF. We discuss what you can do now to prevent needing IVF, or what steps to take to assess your fertility, whether you are just starting your fertility journey or are a seasoned infertility warrior. Let's get started. Welcome to Healthy as a Mother, the podcast for becoming and being a mother, with your co-hosts, Dr. Leah Gordon and Dr. Morgan McDermott, two naturopathic doctors who get it.
Each week, we teach you how to be the healthiest mother you can be, from fertility and preconception to pregnancy and birth prep, through postpartum and throughout motherhood, empowering you with the natural health guidance and education you're not getting elsewhere so you can confidently navigate the broken system at large.
The real, the raw, the untalked about.
And remember, this information is not intended to diagnose, treat, or manage any disease. Always consult with your doctor before making any changes.
Okay, IVF. Let's just dive on in. This episode is going to be more about the idea and the concept of IVF. When is it appropriate? When is it not? And we'll link in the show notes our other episode that talks about IVF optimization from a health point standpoint and how you can better increase your chances of a successful IVF transfer. Mm-hmm. And in this one, we're going to talk about some of the other sort of bigger or philosophical concepts and some of the problems with the system. So yes. You know this very well. You are such an expert here. It's such a joy and amazing thing to see, because there isn't very much information out there that you have. And so we're going to get it.
Yeah, we're going to get it out. You're going to get it out of me. Yes. So for anyone who doesn't know, my husband and I struggled with infertility for about 5 years. And we uncovered, after many, many investigations of root cause, of trying to identify why, that the only way we could have a biological baby together was IVF. That's a very short version of a long story. Mm-hmm. So I would not be a mother. I have a daughter. I would not be a mother without IVF. I am very grateful for IVF. And I do think that, for anyone who doesn't know, IVF stands for in vitro fertilization. And basically, it's the concept that we create an embryo outside of the body.
Which is amazing that we can even do that. I mean, honestly, it's pretty wild.
It is wild. So, yeah. You know, the classic, like back in the day, I remember, you know, I was raised Catholic and we would go to church and I would see signs of like test tube babies, you know, like evil, like all this stuff.
What?
And, oh yeah. And there's still very much like that mentality out there. And I do not look at my daughter at all and think that what we did was evil.
No.
But there are many people who don't like that idea, you know, playing God, doing those kind of things. However, it's a tool, just like anything else is a tool in our life. And just like any other tool, it can be used inappropriately as well.
Yep.
Or maybe with like in the birth situation, maybe used too much and when it's not necessary. So in vitro fertilization is basically collecting eggs from a woman through medication and a procedure where you basically extract the egg out and then getting sperm from the male partner, whether it's an egg or a sperm donor or the ejaculation of the person who is trying to have the baby, either through an ejaculation or what my husband had to do was testicular retrieval, where they had to go in surgically and remove the sperm because there were so few, we didn't actually even know there would be any. And then they meet the egg and sperm together, which normally naturally happens in the body when you have intercourse. And then when the egg and sperm meet, that starts the process of creating an embryo. And this naturally happens in the body when you have sex, and that embryo is created. For about 6 days, it floats around in your fallopian tubes and uterus before it implants into the uterus. And a week after that implantation is when a person will get a positive or negative pregnancy test. So if you're positive, obviously you're pregnant. In IVF, you meet the egg and sperm and grow that embryo for about 6 days and then either freeze it or transfer it into the woman's body. And so this is a beautiful technology that has allowed certain people to conceive that could never otherwise. People like my husband and I, who he had no sperm outside of his body in the natural physiological ejaculation process that would happen with sex and all of that. Like,
there was a few, but they were
dead, right? And yeah. Not going to make a baby.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, in order for us to become pregnant, we just went around that anatomical and physiological problem and went directly to the source where sperm were made to allow for us to make an embryo. That's a beautiful example of using IVF. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes couples have these genetic issues or anatomical issues, or maybe a woman has blocked fallopian tubes or has like severe endometriosis or something mm-hmm. where they physiologically and anatomically cannot become pregnant naturally.
Or she has so few eggs, she's older.
Yes, or so few eggs yes. that like, it's just not working. And IVF basically allows us to move around these obstacles that otherwise would result in a completely impossibility, like a yeah. complete impossibility for pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Same sex couples can now carry yeah, totally. And have babies where they would physiologically never be able right, to do right. that before. Maybe so both. There's a time and a place for sure. It is my personal belief after being a natural fertility doctor and seeing so many couples that our system is set up such that we shuttle people down the IVF and IUI. So IUI is intrauterine insemination, which is basically concentrating sperm and basically it's a lot more medical than this, but shooting it up
like it's a turkey baster, right? Everybody yeah. I feel like knows about the turkey baster.
Yeah. So yep. basically the woman doesn't have to extract her eggs, but it's like having sex with a turkey baster essentially. It's like very, very rudimentary, you know, explanation of that, but you're inserting the sperm up into the vaginal canal,
getting it closer in case maybe there was like an anatomical reason that the sperm wasn't getting up high enough. Yeah. And then they're also monitoring her ovulation, the ultrasound and some lab testing to make sure she's ovulating and getting the best chances of a
yeah.
fertilization.
So usually IUI is tried first, unless it's an extreme case like my husband and I's. And then IVF is usually like the next step, but both of those are called assisted reproductive technologies. And in our current medical system, the culture around infertility is that we don't encourage couples, women or men individually, or once they're together coupled, to investigate their fertility.
At all.
Yeah, at all. Most women are put on the pill, on birth control, mm-hmm. to prevent pregnancy with the assumption that the minute you want to become pregnant, you just stop it. And magically you get pregnant.
And some people do, of course.
Some people totally do.
Some people miss like one, or they take it a couple hours wrong and then they do get pregnant. So it does happen. But there's, you know, that's the sort of like common thought. But nobody is talking about the repercussions on the other side of that. And that's where our gripe is, right?
Yes.
We want people to have the full picture, the full informed consent, and know what is actually happening and how mm-hmm. to avoid getting into these very expensive, arduous, long, and sometimes heartbreaking and really physiologically tough mm-hmm. interventions later on when you don't necessarily need to do that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the same when we talk about C-sections and birth. I've also had that experience, grateful for it, but it isn't without risk.
Right.
And IVF is the same. Yes, it's amazing. We can create babies and it's not without risk. And we do see a lot of babies born via IVF having more complications and issues. I have my own thoughts and beliefs about why that is. I think it's because of quality between egg and sperm, and we're going around the natural selection process that would select for a better quality situation. Oh. And we're just going around that. So it's obviously going to result in maybe more diseases or autism or whatever the studies are showing. However, in our culture, we don't encourage looking at your fertility. A couple, once they want to start trying to conceive, are encouraged to just try, even without education on how to properly try, when a woman might be ovulating. There's no, you know, encouragement and education of that. If she's proactive and has kind of learned on her own when she ovulates, maybe that couple has a leg up mm-hmm. to even know when they can get pregnant. But most right. couples don't even know when they can. They're just,
and this term is preconception work or preconception yeah. health. A lot of people don't even know what that, or haven't heard that term. It's preconception. It's what mm-hmm. you're doing before conceiving. Mm-hmm. It's understanding your cycle, getting healthy first. I mean, this would be in our ideal situation, right? And that concept is like so foreign. People just want to go for it. And of course, for many people, they are successful. They do get pregnant, or maybe there's accidental pregnancies or whatever. So mm-hmm. there is a big portion of the world that is having no issue with this, but it's on the rise and it's very scary rate
yes,
where people are having problems. And mm-hmm. we wish that people would have more tools in the toolbox and know so that they don't have to wait.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the waiting too, but I want you to finish your thought. I'm sorry. I just had to jump in there and define the term preconception because it's a rising field, thankfully.
Yeah, no, it's very important to do the work before conception. And a typical couple is trying to conceive, they're having sex, you know, throughout the month, and they're really encouraged to wait until they have been trying for 12 months before insurance, for the most part, will even pay for or cover appointments to a fertility doctor, any lab work, any semen analysis to investigate if there's a problem. So why this to me is really backwards and unfortunate is if you wait for a couple to just try for a year to conceive, and like we said, some people are successful and that's amazing, even though there's still optimization that could have been had for both the mother and the father, whoever is engaging in that partnership, and for their future children. That's another episode. But for the people who it's not working for, by the time 12 months has gone by, okay, oh my gosh, we are now diagnosed as infertile. The diagnosis is 12 months of, you know, regular trying intercourse. And then they can go see a fertility doctor. Then their insurance will cover lab work to investigate. That is still usually pretty rudimentary, the lab work that they do, potentially looking at the woman's hormones, very rarely ever at the man, not even his semen, maybe.
Even after 12 months.
Yes. Usually it's often looked at the woman. If they have a progressive doctor, they might do a semen analysis on the man. Sometimes they'll run the hormones on him.
Yeah. Do you see that changing now that it's becoming more and more well known that semen, that sperm counts are dropping off the face of the planet?
I mean, yes, more so with the rise of awareness in places like social media, direct to consumer labs, and educating the consumer. You know, it's pretty routine, I would say, to do at least a semen analysis, but investigation into why a guy doesn't have a good semen analysis, no, still not even close. Mostly because the conventional model doesn't even know where to begin. They don't even recognize really that toxins are causing infertility, or that, you know, inflammation and autoimmune and all of these things can be factors. And so there are certain pockets of practitioners who know and are doing good work there. But as a general sense, is every couple who's having a hard time conceiving have this really robust understanding of why? No, not at all.
Yeah.
And so the couple, you know, will try for a year, they go to the fertility doctor, either they will get labs done and maybe it's found out the sperm is low count, or maybe the woman is identified to have PCOS. Okay. These are two classic.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yes. PCOS stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's a syndrome, not a disease. It's a syndrome where it's diagnosed by having irregular cycles. So maybe the woman's not ovulating at the right time.
Or at all.
Yeah. High androgens, meaning testosterone, things like acne, unwanted hair growth can be obvious signs of that, or just high on a lab. And or polycystic ovaries, meaning on an ultrasound, there'd be lots of little follicles and polyps and cysts. You only have to have two of those three criteria to have PCOS. But let's say they ran the lab work and identified that, or some other imbalance. Most of the time, because the conventional model doesn't have tools to even help those things, they're just told to do IVF.
Yeah, because they don't see that. They don't see PCOS as a changeable diagnosis. They don't see, oh, you have low sperm, you know, you're just infertile. There's nothing that we can do to change this. Mm-hmm. We'll link the male infertility podcast here. There's so much that we can do to change sperm specifically. Yes. They are really easy to change.
Yes.
And really easy to damage.
Yes.
Which is why, you know, things are getting damaged.
That's
where this blend of the integrative medicine, the naturopathic doctors, functional medicine doctors, integrating in with the reproductive endocrinologists and OB-GYNs, it must be a blend because we know for a fact that that is not the case. And they think in their minds, they know for a fact that it is the case or whatever. And it's just this like miscommunication, misunderstanding of the way that we're trained in our schools, et cetera. But I mean, luckily things are moving and shifting towards this sort of blended approach and idea. And people are starting to realize with their own lived experiences that, you know what, like no one particular person in the medical, in the current medical models is maybe correct in all of this stuff. We need to be looking outside the box and thinking about all of it. It's also changing so quickly because our environment, the environmental factors affecting our health are changing and becoming more and more detrimental at such a rate that we almost cannot even keep up.
Right, right. It's quite shocking. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, this is where certain reproductive technologies are going to be necessary.
100%. I mean, it's never going away.
No. And it's, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, I did a video on this on TikTok and everyone's like, this is the Handmaid's Tale. And I'm like, it is in many ways, you know, yeah. The projected outcome for sperm is so poor, you know, certain articles projecting that there will be very few, if any, fertile men in the next, you know, 50 years, if not less. Mm-hmm. And that's very scary. But you know, we need to start raising awareness of this now. Yep. and making changes now. And so what the typical trajectory is, this is a similar trajectory in certain ways to the interventions of birth, mm-hmm. but with infertility, because there is no proactive measures done, as soon as a diagnosis has been discovered, either there is a very short period of maybe trying to help them, like maybe they put a woman with PCOS on metformin for like a month or two to see, or what's more likely is that they'll just put them on medications like Clomid or something like that to force and push these physiological processes.
Yeah, tell people what Clomid is.
So Clomid is a medication that will make a hormone in the brain, like FSH, trigger more to try to get your body to make more follicles and to have more eggs,
more ovulation.
And it tries to push that ovulation process. And there's a couple different medications that can be used, but it's still not working with the underlying physiology of what the body needs to be optimally fertile.
And we view fertility as a huge marker of health in general.
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be something that people accept at face value. Oh, I'm just infertile. Mm-hmm. Just is the way that it is. Although that is sometimes the case, like with your husband, it's like, he is very healthy in all of these other ways. There's something else that happened there, mm-hmm. you know, whether it was when he was in utero or whatever, mm-hmm. but for the most part, it's a good baseline basis to look at your health. And so we want that for individuals in general to mm-hmm. want to be healthy,
yeah.
especially for the women who are going to be the mothers of these children to go into their pregnancies, postpartum, birth and postpartum, in a state of flourishing health, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're going to have better postpartums and better motherhood experiences and be able to breastfeed or whatever, or, you know, be in the right shape to have a physiological birth or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't matter. And it shouldn't just be this thing. Well, oh, I just get shuttled off to this other doctor.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. And it's so sad because infertility or the inability to become pregnant is a side effect of some other process.
Something, yeah.
That isn't just about conceiving, you know? Mm-hmm. So the IVF process is like, oh, you can't conceive. We'll work around that and get you a baby. But what this is a bigger thing is your infertility or your struggle, your subfertility, your inability to become pregnant is a big red flag of like, there's something else underlying that doesn't just have to do with your conception. Mm-hmm. It impacts you on a health level that could impact your health once you have the baby, maybe through IVF, that it might come up later as cancer or as a metabolic disease, mm-hmm. or maybe a man has high heavy metals and that's why his sperm is so poor, but that eventually could lead to him having an early death. And we don't want that.
Yeah, or neurodevelopmental disorders in the child.
In the child, right, exactly. And so this is the difference, the fundamental difference between our approach to fertility and a conventional approach is they're just trying to get you pregnant.
Yes.
At all costs, or it really just not at all costs, but without considering a lot of other factors, mm-hmm. the quality of the sperm, the quality of the embryo.
Or obesity. I feel like it's mm-hmm. Such a shame. You know, that's one of the things that Jacqueline Chassie really worked on over on the East Coast, was working with the reproductive endocrinologists, making a weight loss program. They would send their patients over to her. She would work on them with weight loss for mm-hmm. several months, whatever it was, send them back to the reproendos. Everybody benefits because their you know, ability to get pregnant after losing significant weight is so mm-hmm. much higher and better. Yeah. And it's like, these are factors that we can interplay so that you don't have to spend $40,000. You know, and your health is so much better afterwards too. Like, yeah. It's just, we're so in the culture of the quick fix situation. And mm-hmm. it's like, you have money, you just do it. And of course, we're not shaming anybody that that's their choice. It's just that there's a lot of people who are presented that this is their only option.
Right.
When it's not the case, in our opinion.
Right. And that is what I'm talking about. You know, some people opt to do IVF. That is your choice. This is a free world. I'm all about medical autonomy and medical choice.
Yeah,
and
same.
You can do whatever you want.
Yep. If you got the money, you do it. You
know? And a lot of people come to me in my practice who had no idea there was anything else. and have been trying forever, have maybe tried multiple rounds of failed IVF, spent all of that money, still no results, no child, yet doing some investigation outside of the conventional model, maybe looking at their gut microbiome, looking at, you know, toxin exposure, looking at their natural hormonal production, boosting their own progesterone, working on PCOS, you know, working on all of these different.
And this impacts the baby.
It impacts the baby. And a lot of times they can then become pregnant without IVF on their own. And that's not, I'm not going to say better. Like, I don't think that I am a worse mother because I have a baby through IVF, but I also was a healthy person. My husband was a healthy person. We had to do IVF. Thank God for it. Very different than someone who's so unhealthy that they can't become pregnant. That unhealthiness will perpetuate.
Exactly. Who doesn't work on any of these things?
Yes.
It is a different situation. Mm-hmm. And the current model doesn't support health. It just will get you pregnant. And it's ignoring it as if it doesn't matter, all the health things.
And you, when you talk to someone who's done IVF, you often hear about all of the, you know, very low amounts of embryos, low amounts of high quality embryos, lots of failed transfers, all of these things that would have been better if they had worked on their health ahead of time.
Right.
Even if you had to go through IVF, could you have a higher quality? Would you not have lost the baby? Like, we don't have a crystal ball, but there's so much heartache that goes along with IVF. And I see it. I've had, you know, IVF support groups, and I see the health of some of the people in this where it is not being addressed at all. And it's not their fault. They don't know. Their doctor is not saying anything, bringing it up. And, you know, it's like they go in, you know, maybe a low quality embryo, transfer after transfer failing. And it's like, to me, it's on such a fundamental level that like a few things could have been shifted and addressed and would have changed your outcome like exponentially.
And I just have to say too, in terms of finances, sometimes, you know, the functional medicine world, the integrative health medicine world gets a bad rap because it's expensive. People say it's too expensive. It's like, well, at what cost are we going to be talking about expenses? Because IVF is arguably one of the most expensive, you know, health interventions that is like on a regular basis, like done. And it feels like, well, maybe you spend $2,000 or $3,000 working with an athletic doctor, a functional medicine doctor, and you get pregnant naturally versus avoiding the $40,000, et cetera. And then what if it doesn't work? It's not a guarantee. They don't guarantee it. And two, when you were talking about risks earlier, I just wanted to mention the trigger shots and the ovulate, you know, the amount of hormones that the woman's body has to experience in order to collect the eggs can be really, really hard on her body.
Oh my gosh. So hard.
And some women, what's that disorder where they get like really swollen, they like hyperovulate and that is painful.
Oh yeah.
Has lots of repercussions. Yeah. I mean,
hyperstimulation.
Yes. Hyperstimulation. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a life sentence necessarily, but it's not like, oh, I'm just going to go and do this thing. And maybe, you know, that is the case for some people, but again, informed consent, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
If we can be working on some of our lifestyle factors, which are going to impact the health of the baby, we know that very clearly. We want to encourage this to be like the first step. And it's such a tragedy that people are waiting an entire year.
It's so sad.
Of not being able to address this health situation.
Right.
So, until they get there.
And what happens a lot of times, so let's say a couple tries per year to become pregnant. Then they go to the fertility doctor, are diagnosed with XYZ, whatever. It's not something that requires IVF, like an anatomical issue. It's maybe PCOS, unexplained infertility, something. They're shuttled into IVF. Maybe still there's some underlying factors that were never addressed. So the IVF fails, maybe fails again. Eventually they find a doctor like me or like you, a naturopathic or a functional medicine doctor. And then they do extra testing to find out what's really going on. And then it takes time to address those lifestyle factors, to change their diet, to get the toxins out, to do all the things, address their thyroid, whatever. And then
they can get pregnant.
And then they could get pregnant. But like, think about the entire time that was wasted when if you had just investigated your health as a check before you started trying or early in your trying journey, you could have potentially gotten pregnant long before the year was up.
Right.
Or it would have saved you all of that back in time. And there was never a waste for making you and your partner healthier.
Right. Exactly.
Versus I have a lot of patients that come to me who were put on certain medications, gone down IUI, IVF, fail after fail, very expensive, hard on their body, have never been the same since, gained lots of weight, depressed, can't get the weight off, you know, like all of these things. And not to say that like you don't have to do that as again to have a baby if you need to do it for IVF like I did, but a lot of these women and men too are worse off after all of that. Yeah. And it's so sad.
The stress and the sad, the heartbreak.
And it's like, it's so simple for our culture and money saving. If we want to talk about like, people be like, oh, you can't run those tests before you're infertile because it'll waste money.
It's right. Like, let's talk about, yeah. Tell us, what's your wish?
Yeah.
Like, what do you wish that it would be like so that we can avoid all this heartache and the pain? And then let's talk about the realistic costs.
My wish.
Because it's not as crazy as it seems.
No, my wish would be that anytime a couple is serious about potentially trying, my wish is that they check before they start trying the man's sperm and at least the woman's hormones and her ovulation. And potentially, this doesn't have to be for everybody, but potentially just like a quick ultrasound, just to make sure there's no fibroids, polyps, cysts, PCOS, like just quick check, quick rule out, just like you would take your car in to make sure that the engine's working. Like we do this, and this model, do more preventative diagnostics on our cars than we do on our bodies.
And yeah, this like currently does not exist at all, right? Like there's no, I mean, unless somebody's going to go seeking somebody like you or I.
Yeah. They can't just walk into a doctor and be like, can you do just an ultrasound to make sure I'm okay?
Yeah. They'd be like, what are you talking
about?
You
need a lab order. Do you have a diagnosis?
Yes. Mm-hmm,
exactly. It is.
And obviously like I want to recognize incidental findings and things. So there's reasons why we sometimes don't do certain imaging or certain tests and stuff because we don't want to find something that actually doesn't matter. And there's different anatomical differences that can be normal, but the current model, and given the severity of our infertility issue on the planet right now, this is a time and place where I feel like we can handle sort of those incidental things and at least getting a good picture and a knowing and understanding isn't really that risky.
Yeah. And at least just tracking ovulation. So one of the most common reasons for female infertility is ovulation issues. And
that
sometimes
she's not ovulating
or ovulating incorrectly or sporadically. And so learning, educating yourself, you know, I have a course on this. A lot of people do, of just like how to track your cycle, how to know when you're ovulating, just something super simple as a pulse in your health. Just like you would want to know what your heart rate is if you've been exercising or whatever other health parameter. And at the bare minimum, checking your male's partner's sperm.
Which is a pretty easy
test
to do.
It's so easy. You can do it on your own. It takes no phlebotomist, no doctor. There's easy tests that you can order. And it will just give you either peace of mind or identify an issue that if it's severely low, and I have a course on this as well, but if it's severely low, identifying right away, is there any anatomical issue? Is there a genetic issue that you're not going to waste an entire year of your life hoping you might get pregnant, when maybe all along there was a problem.
Right.
And it's so simple and so easy. And the thing about men's health is that it takes a while to make these changes. So let's say it's not something severe. It's just slightly low count, slightly low quality. Get him on a good diet, a good supplement routine, good like lifestyle practice. And then your likelihood and chance of conceiving easily and on your own is so much higher. And it's just,
Sperm. So for anybody who doesn't know, sperm and eggs are kind of in tandem in that they are ready to go after about a 3-month maturation process inside of the body. So from the very beginning to the end of a sperm's life, it takes about 3 months for eggs. We are born with all the eggs that we are going to have, but they're different in the way that they're sitting in our ovaries. They need to go through several phases of change before they are actually popped out of the ovary and ovulated that particular month. And so there's a lot that we can do in a 3-month time period to influence the health of what's going to be coming. You know, say it's January and I want to start trying in March. Well, I should be making lifestyle changes then in January. I mean, we prefer, you know, maybe 6 to 9 months even out from wanting to get pregnant, but at least that 3-month cycle just to get the quality right. And sperm, thankfully, one of the great things about sperm is that it's so easy to influence. And unless there is a genetic or anatomical thing going on, if it's the toxins, if it's low nutrient status, if it's too much alcohol, smoking, obesity, et cetera, a lot of improvement can be seen in a short amount of time, but it's just like people don't know that. And it's just a shame. How much do you think a sperm analysis costs?
So anywhere between like $100 and $150, which is like a flight somewhere. So cheaper than a flight. Yeah. And you can run a comprehensive hormone panel looking at everything, your thyroid, all of your hormones, all of your you know, inflammatory markers, your lipids, everything, for, let's say on a woman for $250, if you go outside of the insurance model.
You like to use what, Vibrant?
So Vibrant, even on my website at womanhoodwellness.com, you can order labs on your own. There are options where this does not have to be expensive. You do not have to play in the traditional insurance model. You can pay cash for labs. You can find options. There are direct-to-consumer labs where you can order them on your own. Find people like us, other people that have resources on what labs to check. My dream would be when a couple has made the decision that they want to conceive, that they gift each other either one of these panels of tests just to get a pulse and make sure.
Yep.
If it's good, everything is great, or maybe you do some optimization, then don't stress. You don't need to track your cycle. You don't need to, you know, worry about it. Just have sex, be great, you know, have the spontaneous. A lot of people just want to be spontaneous and they're trying, and I'm all for that. But I also don't think just trying without blindly, without knowing at all, it's so sad. I see it so much in my practice, especially for couples who get together later in life.
Exactly. I was going to say age, I think, is a factor that's correct.
Yes. And so either a couple who's waited or have gotten get together later, to if you're like 35, 36, your partner's like 39, 40, and you take a whole year to try, mm-hmm. then find out you have a problem, of course you're going to be shuttled into IVF.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it is appropriate based on your age that like IVF is going to be the best route, especially if you want two kids.
Yeah.
But you could have saved that time with the year of trying, where you could have just been optimizing your health.
The year of trying and the insurance model thing is like, I understand why, right? It's kind of like, there's a lot of parallels mm-hmm. actually between this and birth. It's like, you won't be seen by an OBGYN or a midwife until you're 12 weeks pregnant.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
No, because most miscarriages happen before then. And if they're low progesterone, you could have stopped it. I think about that all the time.
Well, and you are missing, there's no counsel or consultation or advice then given mm-hmm. for the entire first trimester of the pregnancy, which is where the entire body map of that baby is being developed.
Yes, I know.
And you're not giving any advice or help or anything to that time period. And I get it, because they're like, well, we don't even know if the baby's going to make it to 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, I get that. But, you know, and so it's like, they're thinking, well, 12 months of trying, because it's certain, you know, statistics say probably they'll get pregnant in that first 12 months. And it's like, well, those statistics are rapidly changing.
Yeah.
So we need to be adjusting mm-hmm. and thinking of some newer ways, and also just being transparent and honest about the money. You know, it's like, don't buy the baby bathtub or the most expensive monitor, mm-hmm. spend some money on the sperm analysis.
Yeah.
Like, there's some shifts in the money and the way that we think about things. And it doesn't have to be, you know, I think that sometimes this can come up from a place of privilege and only being wanting to use the health insurance model. But the reality is that if you're going to be shuttling down the IVF path, you're going to be spending far more money, so much more money that is not going to be covered by insurance. Mm-mm. I do know a lot of companies now are paying female employees to
freeze their eggs
mm-hmm. and then are doing more of this fertility kind of paying the benefits of it, which I think is, I understand how it is, it seems kind, but I actually think it's very selfish and mm-hmm. is just in line with the capitalistic patriarchal yeah. way of our society, that they don't want you to take a break from working and they're going to like continue mm-hmm. to push you to work mm-hmm. until...
Just like a quick tangent on that is that just because you freeze your eggs is not a guarantee that you will actually have a baby. It is a false belief that women think, oh, I'll just freeze my eggs and then I'm guaranteed a baby. It is not the case.
Mm.
And
because why?
Because there's just complications with quality, with freezing and thawing and that whole process. And then the woman is getting older and older. And a lot of times, you know, if you just have the belief that I'll freeze my eggs and so I can implant at any time into my 40s or anything, and that's just not the case. And so it's a false belief that like you don't have to work on anything, and that's just not true. So there's a lot of issues there. I agree. It's like it continues to push this process, and there's all sorts of issues with that. But given that, IVF is very amazing.
It is.
So the biggest thing that I would like to see, instead of companies paying for women freezing their eggs, or in addition to, you know, that's a great option in certain situations, but
it just is so far down the line.
It's so far down the line, and it's, you know, their thought is fertility preservation, but there should be a lot more work done around preserving fertility, of preserving your own health and working on your own health.
Right.
just taking your eggs out and putting them in a freezer does not mean that you'll have better fertility outcomes. And if that money, which is a significant to do an egg retrieval and to pay to keep your eggs frozen, if you could take just a fraction of that and put it toward potential fertility testing and health optimization of education on diet, nutrition, and just optimizing your fertility, I think would be such a better service to the woman, to her future family and her future health, and to our world at large. So
such a perfect sentence. And I think just to recap too, you said it was about, let's just say it's $150 for the sperm semen analysis and about $250 for
doing a comprehensive
a lot panel of labs. Yeah. So, I mean, 250 or less. So like $400 or less for a lot of information that can be used to formulate a plan or get you on the track for making certain changes, whether significant or subtle, that can help you sort of avoid all of this path of intervention if we need it to be, which, you know, there isn't a financial incentive for them to talk about all of these things. Right.
Well, because just to let you know, $400 is about the price of a 10-minute ultrasound appointment in IVF.
What?
That's just one of the dozens of appointments that you go into, and each one is about $450 for about 10 minutes.
Yeah. And see, you know, so we have
just to put it in context.
Yeah. And we have to recognize the financial incentive of these companies and these industries and these mega models and kind of, you know, fertility factories or whatever it is. And this is a hugely financially produced, whatever I'm trying to say here, procedure and kind of track to get people on. So they are not incentivized to have you go be doing your testing, and they want you to go. And I get that. It's our human nature. We, you know, we want to be making money. It's a business model, whatever, but we, as the people and the citizens, just need to recognize that fact. Yes, this is a beautiful, amazing technology and human advancement that is available to us. And it is not the only option. And although they are presenting it like it's really the only thing to do, it's not. And it's incredibly expensive. And working on true health parameters has much longer lasting effects as well when it comes to the health of your baby and your postpartum experience as well. So of course, that is going to be our angle, is wishing that people can be going into this healthy as a mother.
Yeah.
You know, going mother ever, right? Going on, being healthy. We want mothers to be the healthiest that we can get them. And so sometimes that the IVF world skips that step.
Yes.
And we have a problem with that.
Yeah. You can become a mother, but you maybe weren't healthy enough to be a mother in the first place.
And that is something that we should address, right? Yeah. And maybe you can be super duper healthy and still need IVF, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people who are getting missed in that step.
Yeah.
And that's where our main gripe is. So
yeah. Yeah. So to wrap up, basically, IVF is amazing. I'm not anti-IVF. I would not be a mother without IVF.
Right.
And just like everything, I'm not anti-C-section. I would not be a mother without, you know, C-sections, but I think there are things wrong
there.
It's not the complete picture. Yes. And IVF is no different. And I think that we need to have a more holistic and integrative approach to that fertility conversation. It needs to start earlier. We need to change our entire way of how we think about fertility and just that whole process. And it shouldn't be the only option presented to couples who are struggling to conceive.
Especially in light of the, you know, trajectory and projections of the way that our fertility in this world is going, it needs to be really cutting edge, like right now.
Yeah.
And that cutting edge is not going to just be more technology.
Yeah.
It's going to be addressing the factors that are going on within our bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. All right. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Healthy as a Mother podcast. In order for other women to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and send to a friend who could benefit from this content.
We're so excited to share more on becoming and being a mother next time. And remember, a healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.
Please remember that the ideas and views presented in this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to serve as a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis or treatment of any illness or disease. Consult with your provider before integrating this information into your own care plan. Now go have a wonderful day. You've got this.